Okay, today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim is Perek Chav Zayin, and we're up to Mishnah Yud. You remember we had this amazing machlokas yesterday between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi about whether it's possible to consider something to be touching itself, and therefore incorporating within itself the levels of tumah that would be secondary attenuated in the event that the primary tumah ceased to exist, such as a case where something was tumah midras, and now gets to be too small to support the midras tumah. It would still, on the smaller level, be a lot bigger than shalash hashalash, and therefore it would remain tameh because it is itself and therefore touched itself. As I mentioned to you, this is not the way people in general understand the Mishnah. They understand touching itself is through a maga beit hasidurim, which is not called beit hasidurim because the threads touch themselves, and we consider that not to be beit hasidurim, and that group is the machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama. We were learning that Rabbi Yossi is the one who holds that it would only be able to be conveyed through a maga, and there is no maga because it would be too much beit hasidurim. Hashenken, according to the Rabbanan, it doesn't require an actual maga. The fact that something is itself is the deepest maga possible. So now let's take a case where we've got 3x3 tefachim, and it was tamei midras, and now you're going to tear it, and you tear it. Normally, if you tear it into two, so then it's tar min hamidras, but each part being larger than shalosh hashalosh. Oh, sorry, that we did this yesterday, right?
Rebbe introduced it, but did not give it a full treatment. We got stuck. We ran out of time.
All right, fine. Aval tamei maga midras. I don't believe it. But anyway, Omer Rebbe Yossi. So this is considered to be tamei maga midras because it's itself. Rebbe Yossi says, V'chibayza midras nagaza. It didn't touch it. What did it touch? And the area that it touched is certainly not going to be metamei b'maga because that's considered to be tumat beit hasidurim. If a zov, after it was cut, a zov touches it, okay, so then, and then it would still have the same tumah, basically, because a zov is also the avatumah, the same way that the midras is an avatumah, but certainly it's not going to be tumah midras itself to be an avatumah. Perek of Zion Mishnah Yud Aleph. Now, suppose you have a piece of cloth that is 3x3 tefachim, and you find it in a garbage dump, okay? It cannot become tomei at this point because of the fact that it's been thrown out. We spoke about before, and it would only be considered to be tomei if it's not all ripped up and so on. And it should be bari, in other words, and it should be also strong. So it has to be strong enough to at least make it usable to wrap salt with it or something. If it's in a house and you find it, so then it's fine. Then we don't say that it was considered to be not choshev. So then by it, if it's in the house, it can be makabel tumah, even if it doesn't have both of these things. It can be either of these things. Either it can be strong, meaning strong to be able to wrap the Tzorah Melech, or it can be in good condition, so that it's bari. When we talk about being able to wrap salt, I mean, how much salt would it be able to wrap? A quarter of a kav, which is the equivalent of 6 beitzim. Rabbi Yehuda says the quarter kav is measured in daka, in fine salt, and the Chachamim say it's measured in kosher salt, which is coarse salt. Now, Elo ve'Elo, however, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim were saying lakula. In other words, whatever is more problematic to wrap around, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're using something to wrap fine salt, the fine salt is going to be much heavier than the coarser salt because you're going to have more grains in that same place. So when he says it has to be strong enough for fine salt, it means that it's a kula. Masha Inkein, the Chachamim hold, what we look at is how strong the material has to be to not be torn by the sharp edges of what it is that it's going to be wrapping. So if you're wrapping coarse salt, that's basically like putting rocks into it, and it can easily get ripped. Okay, so the question is, what's considered to be the bigger kula? Fine. So we're talking about shalosh, shlosha al shlosha, not shalosh al shalosh. And the Mishnah, therefore, must be talking about tumas midras, right? So that means that even if something was thrown away, it could still be mekabel tumas midras if it's strong enough to wrap salt. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Doesn't matter whether it's 3 by 3 tvachim or 3 by 3 etzbaot in a house. Something that is 3 by 3 tvachim in a garbage pail or something that is 3 by 3 tvachim in the house is exactly the same. The very fact that it was thrown in the garbage pail, you understand that if it's only shalosh al shalosh etzbaot, there's no way for it to be makabel tuma because it doesn't have that chashivas. So then if something is thrown into the garbage pail, it doesn't have that chashivas for the same reason. I don't care if it has a shear to be makabel tuma smaga because it's stronger, it's able to be used for the cloth. That's not the point. So therefore, if I threw it out, I can't possibly consider it something that was miyuchad for sitting on. And that's what's required in order for it to be mekabel tumas midras. And therefore, that's no good. Now, how about losing the shame kli through tearing? Now, obviously, until now, we've been talking about tearing it into two. Okay, if I tear it into two, it doesn't have the shear. It's like any other kli that was broken. And the only shaila we had over there was the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim about whether it is still considered to be tumas maga in having contacted itself when it was on the higher madriga of tuma of midras, which was an avatuma, as matame kelim would have made the kli that is left over a rishon. How about if I tore it, right? But I didn't tear it all the way down the middle. It tore. So now the question is, at what point would it be considered no longer ro'ui to be makabel tumas midras? So it's very simple. You take this thing and you put it on a chair, okay? Now you sit down on the chair. The chair is ice cold. Well, if your rear end suddenly feels ice cold in one spot, then this is not a good thing to sit on, right? Because obviously it's torn in a way that you're going to still come in contact with the chair. So, im natanola kiseu bisaro nogea bikise, you feel it against your skin, then it's not really going to be mekabel tuma as a midras because it's not really functioning as a midras. However, if the tear is not big enough to actually pull away, that you would force the cloth into two sections and your skin would come in contact with the seat, so then it would be okay as midras and it'll be tummy. Now let's talk about if it only had 3 by 3 etzba'ot. Okay. But the thing is, over here, it was exactly, remember, we're talking about the exact measurements over here. That was the whole idea of how it's able to lose its tumah by missing one thread. Now, we saw in Masechet Shabbat that the din of weaving and the concept of undoing the weave, the petzia, that was nogea in the Mishkan, remember, where it would turn out that a weave ended up with two knots on a thread next to each other, which destroys the whole smoothness of the weave. So what about if, in fact, this is what happens? You've got a thing, shalosh al shalosh, and either maybe one of the threads gets very worn somewhere, even just one thread. It's very worn out. Or maybe you've got a kesher. Maybe there's a knot, and it's no longer a very nice piece of cloth. Or maybe you've got two chutim that are mat'imim, one next to the other. Now, what this means is that when they did the weave, they made a mistake in setting up the warp threads. And they had two warp threads. Remember, every other warp thread is supposed to be lifted by an alternate heddle, right? So you can't have two threads that are going to be right next to each other in a weave. One is going to be going up, and one's going to be going down. And if you find two threads that are up over the weft, then obviously they did a lousy job. And therefore, that part is not considered to be a orug, because that's not real ariga. And the din over here of cloth is that the cloth is orug. And because of this, even any of these things that destroys the ariga takes away the entire tuma, because now it's tahora, because it no longer is considered to have a shear of sholosh al sholosh ba'oru. Now, we talked about before throwing out a big piece into the garbage and making it, therefore, not roi, at least according to one shita, not roi for Tubas Midras, or even according to the Tanna Kamma, roi, but only if it's like highly usable for other things and so on, right? If it has to be intact and whatever. How about if somebody throws out a 3x3 into the garbage? So then, as we saw before, now this is the Gemara that we had in Shabbos. At what point does a small piece of material, remember we talked about if you throw it behind the door, or if you put it on a peg next to the sink, we use it as a pot holder, that whole sugya in Shabbos is this Mishnah. So now, if I had it, I threw it in a garbage pail. So then, it's tame. If I take it out, I bring it into the house. Okay, so then now it's roi to be megabel tuma. And basically, I mean, the way to see this is the olam, that's the klal. Hashlachata is mitaharata, chazarata is mitama'ata. But except for one case, the two cases actually, chutz mishel argaman, if you find something thrown into the garbage, it's tahar, unless what it is extremely expensive, and therefore they're not considered to be worthless just because somebody is so hoity-toity that he doesn't need it and doesn't care, because that's considered to be botla daita etzel roiv b'nei adam. And every case of botla da'ato, the das of the individual who would throw out expensive argaman dyed material, or something that's expensively zohori dyed, so it's this crimson material, and that is botla daita, and it does not lose its tuma. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af matlit chadasha, any new, brand new material that people generally watch and keep for needed purposes is exactly the same as argaman and sa'urit, because most people will take care of it. Rabbi Shimon says, all of this is wrong. You're right in saying that there's a special halacha that's nogea, argaman, and zahorit. Yes, you're right, but this is not the halacha. I'll tell you what that halacha is. But this, as far as the dinim of Tumah V'Taira is concerned, kulam tahorim. That din that differentiates between argaman and zahorit and regular fabrics, that was a din in Ashavas Aveda. When you find something in a garbage pail like that. So then the question is, was it meant to be thrown away? Or do you assume that, oh my gosh, the guy must have dropped it or whatever, and therefore you're mechuyev to go after him and do Ashavas Aveda? I mamish had this maisa happen to me, and I was so furious. So I dropped my glasses case, and this was in Beit Shemesh. I dropped my glasses case on Shabbos, and somebody apparently saw that it was on the ground and put it on top of a garbage pail so that somebody shouldn't step on it. I had my telephone number, my name, everything on the garbage, like a 3,000 shekel worth of a pair of sunglasses. And it turns out somebody found it, but since it was on the garbage pail, they figured undoubtedly it was meant to be thrown in the garbage pail. So they're very sorry that they didn't call, but they assumed it was garbage. That's what Rabbi Shimon is saying. If it's not something that's reasonable to assume it's garbage, then it was there by accident, and you're still mechuyev in Hashavas Aveda. That's where it's mentioned. Mashenke benogea tumah v'tahira, that is not important.